Welcome to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill. And with me, as always, is Patty.
Hello, everyone.
And today, we're talking about the greatest Irish king in history, Brian Boru.
I didn't know Ireland had kings.
They did until the English killed them all.
Oh, they did? Yeah. Oh. So what are we drinking tonight, Max? Are you drinking some Irish whiskey?
I am drinking Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey. It's delightful.
Is it?
It's absolutely delightful. I don't have a great palate for whiskey, but I'll try. I'm just normally so happy I'm drinking Irish whiskey.
Well, I think that's kind of appropriate if we're talking about an Irish king. And you said he's the greatest Irish king? Okay, so they had more than one, and he was the greatest.
Yeah, so what would happen was Ireland was such a wild tribal place. There were a lot of petty kings and sub-kings and client kings spread all throughout the area, the island, and they would sometimes be a high king. And the high king was normally a ceremonial position.
They didn't rule.
They intended to have a lot of military power, which is why they were the high king.
Okay.
So they could go, I'm going to win if we fight, so... This is going to be a two-parter episode, too, because there's so much to Brian's life.
Oh. Okay, Brian sounds like a pretty modern name.
It's a modern name because he brought it into the modern world. Because some people name them after him. It's like the name Alfred, thousands of years old.
No kidding.
Yeah, Michael.
That's kind of cool.
Michael's 2,000 years old, if not older.
No way.
Michael's from the Bible. It's a biblical name.
Well, yeah, but an English Bible. I mean...
I believe it's pronounced the same.
No way.
Like, okay. Uriel, Michael, the E-A-L is a lot of the saints, a lot of the angels have E-A-L at the end of their names.
Huh, all right. So Brian is an old name.
That's because cool. a lot of names didn't change or did change. Like, Alfred is a famous English king, but his brother was Ethelred. Well, that name didn't stick around.
No, that didn't stick.
That name, I like that name, though, Ethelred. I'm going to name a dog
that
one
day. You
might
be the only one.
Ouch.
I'm just kidding.
So, here's the thing with Brian. There's going to be some inaccuracies because it happened so long ago, because he's a semi-mythical king.
Okay.
So, but this happened during the Viking Age. So there's a lot of debate surrounding his role in Irish history as well. I lost my train of thought.
Lost his train of thought because it's dog.
The dog is pouting in the corner and having a little hissy fit. So he was, there's a debate on who he was, but who he really was the man who gave Ireland its identity as Irish people.
Okay.
That's the best way to think about him. And he did end the Huineal power. Those are also known as the O'Neill family, O'Neill clan, in the north. And they dominated for a long time. And they were not always nice to their neighbors. And he did end the Viking Age in Ireland. Now, for those who don't know, for a long time, Vikings would come to... They raided everywhere from the Middle East to Newfoundland.
Well, they got around.
Yeah, so, and a Viking raid typically meant if you were lucky, they would just take everything you owned and burn down your home. If you were unlucky, and this is where it gets 18 plus, they would take everything you owned, burn down your homes, tortured probably your priests to death, and then sort everyone into a pile of the useful to be sold as slaves, and then kill everyone else.
Cool.
The Vikings were not nice people. And Ireland was a preferred place. Just before the Viking Age, which began, depending on how you ask, 750, 760, 780. There's some little bit of debate about that, about when it actually happened. But Ireland was going through a renaissance. They had some of the best resources. They had some of the best craftsmen. They still have some great silversmiths. They have a lot of schools, a lot of learning.
Just ignore him.
Yeah, sorry. He's literally just threw a pillow off the bed because I'm ignoring him. That's my life.
Spoiled dog.
Spoiled dog. Well, I'm not the one who spoils him, but he was born roughly 940. So getting towards the end of the Viking Age. And Ireland was divided into five kingdoms: Ulster, Connaught, Meath, Munster, and Leinster. And all of them had their sub-kings, their clans, also called Tuathas and dynasties. And he was the son of a lesser sub-king named Senatig, which modern days translated into Kennedy. And his tribe was the Dalcassian tribe. And he would have been educated by monks and warriors during the time periods. And then leaps a little bit of the Irish landscape. Most people lived in hill forts surrounded by a palisade that's a thick wooden wall. It's not like a bunch of little raggedy sticks you see in the movies. A good palisade would have been surrounded by oak trunks that were about twice around as a man is wide, was their measurement. So they were big oak trunks. And his own family suffered a raid by the Danes. And he lost family members in it. And this could be the moment. You keep seeing this through all the Viking Age, where a young king sees the effect of an ununited kingdom. This happened to Alfred the Great, too. An ununited land and people could not defend against the Vikings. There needed to be political organization. There needed to be solidarity and military unity. And this could have been the moment where he decided he was going to become the High King, defend Ireland from the Danish people and the Norwegian people. So what happened was his brother rose to that kingdom, the king of the Dalcassians. His name was, and I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, Math Gaiman.
You should have taken Irish lessons before you did this episode.
I want to learn Irish. But he ousted the Munster dynasty in 964, or thereabouts, and made himself a very powerful figure in southern Ireland. And Brian led his brother's armies to war and won the Battle of Beilac Lecta, and he was, even at that young age, a very capable commander for his brother. Now, his brother Math Gamain was murdered by the Norsemen of Limerick. At this time, Dublin, Wexford, Cork, these are all cities and trading ports controlled by Vikings.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so they had a very powerful presence there.
Okay, so the Vikings controlled some areas and then they left others alone?
Yeah, they didn't like to go inland because then the Irish people would surround them. In fact, the word squealing actually was applied to the Irish because they would scream and sing in battle.
The word what? Squaring?
Squailing.
Oh, squailing.
Squailing. Means okay. Screamer. So Brian rose up to the throne of Munster and avenged his brother. He slaughtered Vikings pretty much wherever he found them, unless they surrendered to him. And he put them to good use because they were such good sailors, he turned them into his navymen.
Oh, smart.
And he routed, I'm going to butcher this word, Danubin and the remainder of the Norse army at the Battle of Catharquan. And he probably slayed the enemy's sons and successors. But as I said before, he let some of the Vikings stay there and become his vassals. So he was also hell-bent on increasing his control and controlling all of Ireland. So what he's done is he's run to his brother's place and avenged his brother and made all the Vikings submit to him or die.
Ooh, yeah, I don't blame him.
So
Viking killed my brother, I'd be the same way.
I'm sure. And so he wanted to become High King, so allegedly, to cast the Vikings out of Ireland. So he moved to Leinster and Connaught, which were east and north of him respectively. This brought him in conflict with the current High King, Maelsechel Mac Domhnall. Mac means son of, by the way.
Oh,
okay. Mick and Mac mean the same thing in the Celtic languages. And that conflict lasted from 982 to 997.
It's a long time.
A long time, especially back then. And Maelsechel brought his armies into Leinster. And Brian would use his old family.
Who's Maelsechel again?
He's the current High King.
The current High King. Okay, current High King.
Yeah, it's... Irish listeners, please pronounce our pronunciation.
So Brian
is in conflict,
fighting with Mal Shalal. Mal Shachal.
Mal Shachal.
Okay, got it.
I have notes in front of us, and I've spelled his name wrong like 20 times. So he brought his army into Leicester, and Brian would use that family tactic of sending his Vikings north in boats. The Vikings would pilot and the rest of the men. And Mal Shachal kept defeating Brian, but he didn't soundly defeat him. Brian was very clever. For instance, he did this tactic against the Vikings. He would have all his horses ride out on heavy riders and keep riding and riding and riding on a certain road and backtracking, so it looked like his army was bigger than it was.
Smart. Mm-hmm. Optical illusions.
Mm-hmm. And Brian was very good, and he is the quality of many great people. He learned from his mistakes.
Ooh, even better. That is the sign of a true good leader. Mm.
He began using his Norsemen and his Dobleners, which were, I believe this is correct, mix of Irish and North.
Oh, Norse, okay.
And Danes. And they would sail up north to pester or even invade the High King, while Brian sent his Irish army in inland. So he would split his forces, distract him up north with the Vikings and Dubliners, although they were not necessarily from Dublin to be that mix, and then his Irish armies would press forward.
Sounds like a Game of Thrones move.
Well, where do you think George R. R. Martin copied it from?
Oh.
I'm not throwing shade. I'm just saying the books are inspired by history. If you read The War of the Roses, and you know, that's for a different podcast. So in 996, Brian took Leinster and reached a compromise, sort of like co-high king thing going on. And Mal Shachal was smart and said, okay, I'll be co-high king with you. You're a good man. Well, his supporters and other factors who didn't like Brian, who are pro-Norse, because the Norse brought in a lot of money because they were good traders.
Oh, okay.
Dublin was a massive trading port at that time. They ousted him as High King and replaced him with a warrior named Malmorda Mac Mercada, who promptly led a rebellion against Brian. Excuse me. That whiskey's getting to me. It's
Have
good,
some
isn't
more.
It? Yes. Mm. Buy it. I literally just spent, like, I just wasted like 3 seconds of your life sipping this and telling you to buy it. Do it. So
we can edit that.
But does, yeah, but just to sum up, he used to compromise with the old High King, and his enemies ousted the old High King and replaced him with a jerk.
Aww.
Essentially. So, and by all accounts, Mal Shachal was not a bad High King. He was just a normal, typical medieval tyrant. Not cruel unless he had to be, kind of thing going. That's what I read. Some Irish people might be. He was a saint.
Yeah. Well, it was 1,000 years ago, so who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But Malmorda, allied with his good king, with his cousin, the Viking king of Dublin, Sitric Silkbeard, awesome name, and they tried to fight Brian in open battle, because they didn't want him to lay a siege to Dublin, because that was the Viking heart of Ireland, and the most, as I said before, profitable trading hub. Well, on December 30th, it's 999, the cousins fought.
1,000 years before the Prince song.
1,000 years before the Prince song. Now I'm going to have the lyrics stuck in my head.
You are, yeah.
No, we're not from Minnesota at all. So the cousins fought Brian Boru at the Battle of Glenmama. And the records tell us it was a particularly nasty, long, and bloody battle. And the numbers are unknown, but they're likely in the thousands or tens of thousands. And some accounts say the Vikings lost 7,000 men and the Vikings lost 4,000.
Wow.
And the Vikings were routed. And for those who don't know, routed means they were chased after their army broke and slaughtered.
Okay.
Doesn't mean the army's completely defeated, but it means it's bad. It's really bad. It's not an organized, protective retreat. So, Brian laid siege to Dublin, And he was magnanimous in his victory. So he raised Sitrick back up to be the ruler of Dublin, and then gave Sitrick one of his daughters as a wife. He then married Sitrick's mother and the former wife of Mal Sachal.
What?
Yeah, it gets weird.
Okay, wait. Sitrick was the guy that fought him.
Sitrick was one of the guys that fought him, yes.
But, so you just tried to kill me, you murdered 4,000 of my men, here, marry my daughter.
Marry my daughter. Because Sitrick was an effective ruler.
Okay.
And he wanted a son-in-law who had proven to be an effective ruler in Dublin. Because the Vikings that live in Dublin are not going to respect an Irishman.
Okay.
That's what I think. This is me guessing. Because I just know about this culture and what life was like at the time. And the Vikings were pretty... They live up to the stereotype a little bit. But because now he has a strong friend in Dublin. And then this is where it gets really weird. He married Sitrick's mother.
That is weird.
And former wife of Mal Sachal.
That's so really weird.
I don't know. And like their cousins, some weirdness going on here.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Mal Morda was his cousin, but yeah. And her name was Gormflaith, and she was apparently the most beautiful woman in Ireland.
Okay.
And he had like three wives at this point. A lot of Irish kings were Christians, but they still were into polygamy.
Okay.
There's some old pagan, older like polygamy. Their priests acted as wizards and would cast spells.
How'd that work out?
Not well.
Sure, whatever.
So that's where we're going to leave you for now. Because the next is going to be the rise of Ireland under his leadership and the famous Battle of Clontarf.
Well, this is cool because I know zilch about Irish history, other than, you know, probably recent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when, with Britain coming in, the IRA, that stuff. That's all. I don't know anything about their old history. So it's kind of cool.
Their old history is fascinating. For instance, before the Viking raids, that's where the shillelagh, they were very poor.
Mm-hmm.
And they would fight with clubs.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the shillelagh comes from. It was really just a club you'd hit people with in battle. And
can be effective.
Oh, it's very effective. And they knew how to use them. But it was just clans fighting clans for territory and ego. And it was not meant to be the brutal conquering warfare that the Vikings did.
Okay. There was more like little scuffles.
Scuffle, and they were trying to kill each other, but it wasn't the same ruthless intensity.
Okay,
You know, these were back and forth clan wars and cattle raids, as opposed to we're literally going to murder everyone and torture everyone else to death. So the Vikings were pretty nasty.
Okay.
A lot of people have tried to tone them down in history, like no, they were just farmers who needed
They were vicious, genocidal people.
They weren't genocidal because they always got along with local people.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They did kind of blend in.
They blended in.
They would blend in after they conquered.
After they conquered, the first thing they do is take a native wife.
Okay.
And, well, I don't know if I should even tell the story because we're getting a little long, but just to set a tone for how evil Vikings were, maybe I should say this.
Don't. Save it for next week.
So I'll save it for next week. But yeah,
Or do you want to just leave people hanging with this vicious Viking story?
Oh, I've got so many. Like, they tortured so many people to death. They do it for fun. They would torture people to death for fun. Because the Vikings were murderers that would come over to steal. The average Dane or Norwegian or Svere, which is Swede, would stay home and till the fields and be a farmer. So I'm going to save some of the Viking nasty. We'll introduce it in the next episode.
Okay. I think those who are
sensitive, I will warn you about how,
it's graphic.
Graphic. Well, all right. I can't wait to see you guys in the next episode. I hope you enjoyed this one. And remember,
if it weren't for history, we wouldn't be here. Bye, everybody. See you next time.